Aristocratic Real 3. We were talking about, you were on your way back when you diverted to El Farel in Spain to pick up British civilians.
Yes.
After the outbreak of the Spanish Civil War. What do you remember of picking up these?
I remember as a boat's crew, and I had to go ashore, because one of the officers had to meet somebody there. I always remember being brave, and I thought I'd sit on the wall. Until the bullet just missed me, so back I got back in the boat. But apart from that, the English people we picked up appreciated it. But in peacetime, when everything's easy going, they've no time for any service for them. You just stick their nose up, you know. But when you're helping them, fetching them back, you'd be surprised the difference. You know, what good fellows we were, and yet they didn't want to know us before, you know, of we're the English posh ones, you know, we live here.
How did you feel about that?
Well, we were trained to do a job, and that was all. We just took it with our training.
So, after you picked them up, you took them back to...
Jib. Whatever happened to when they were to Jib, we don't know whether we went back to England or what.
And then you were back into Drake Barracks for
That's right.
That was July 36 to August 36, just a couple of months. Oh, no, right through to October 37. You were at Drake quite a while.
That's right.
Now, why was that? What were you doing? Well, was that when you went on some training?
I was so fed up. I was going to bomb myself out.
Now, why were you fed up?
I thought I had enough, you know. I wasn't really happy at the time. I was down in the dumps and... I had 50 quid, so I gave it to the officer just to say I was going to buy myself out.
But for why were you unhappy?
Well, I didn't like a couple of the officers on the witch.
What have they done wrong? Why have they annoyed you?
Well, they seem to be onto me for some unknown reason, you know, and I thought, well, I'm not sure I'm getting out of this, so I was going to buy myself out, but anyway, I was there nearly 3 years, I think, from 36 to 39. In between that, I got a draft to the Apollo.
Yeah, I see. You were at the Victory as well.
Yes. Yes.
Now, what happened to your attempt to buy your way out of the Navy? Didn't it succeed? What happened? Did you not have enough money?
Well, you had to get a job, which they think you wouldn't be a burden outside, you know. They wasn't going to let Matt bomb himself out if he hasn't got a decent job. So they just hung on. And, anyway, I decided after the time I'll stick it out.
So what were you doing at Drake?
Oh, all kinds of jobs, and most of the jobs was living ashore.
And what sort of jobs were they?
Well, one was going around taking messages to different departments, you know. Officer watches messenger. I was in the where they lay out the kit inspections. I was marking the gas masks with their names. Then I went down to boats again for about a year.
Doing what?
Repairing, you know, any little job.
In the harbour?
Yes.
And what about when you went to Victory? That was
Victory.
Just a couple of weeks,
but they made me go to the gunnery school. Excellent.
What do you remember of that?
Oh, it's very strict. We went through everything: turrets, machine gunning, firing 4.7s. You went aboard a ship and fired guns at a target in all your training. And then they ask you different questions. Then they assess you what marks you got. And then you got your badge. Then I went to Chipna, Rifle Range, because I was in the marching team from the Excellent. And that's marching with a full pack. I pulled downhill. And then I had a turn of going on the Pure Guns crew. And I didn't like that.
Why not?
Well, I was the one who had to pull it along, you know.
You didn't do the Earl's Court thing,
though,
did you?
That's right.
You went on. Were you at Earl's Court?
No.
No,
I came out of it because it's a bit dodgy. And before I broke my legs, I thought, no, I'm coming out. So I went back to the marching team, you know. And I was based at Chipna for a time. And then I was ashore and I met a chap. He was on the Devonport ship. I said, how would you like to come to Pompey, mate? He said, cool. I've been asked for that for years. I said, I'll change you. So they asked me, well, I want to go back. Well, I met my wife, you know.
This is, you wanted to go back to Drake?
Yeah, because I was called in. So I got back at Drake.
That'd be April 1938. You got back.
Then I did get a draft to HMS Guardian, and the captain of that was Geoffrey Cook, who was the commander of the Rodney. He had a mutiny aboard there. And I didn't like the idea of going aboard, so I played the one about buying myself out, so I got out of it. And I didn't go.
So you didn't want to go to HMS Guardian?
No. But I did get another transfer to the Apollo.
But you weren't aboard long, were you? You were only aboard about 3 months. What was that about?
Which is the Apollo?
Yes.
I don't know, really, because I only went and done the normal duties there, and then I got she paid off because she was going back to Australia to join the Australian fleet. So we wouldn't have us there, they had the Australians. So we paid off for there, and the next I got a draft to HMS Gloucester.
Now that was in January 1939.
That's right.
Now could you describe HMS Gloucester for us?
Yes, she was a beautiful ship. The officers and the crew was excellent. And my job was the captain's corridor, like, and
what was your job in there?
Just kept it clean, yeah. I always remember once scrubbing and something was moving along with a brush, and it was a rat, you know, and I'm scared. So anyway, one of the matters got hold of it and threw it out of the side, but then I was sent.
Well, it was a destroyer, was it, the Gloucester?
A cruiser.
A light cruiser?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a bit vague on.
Southampton class.
And what was it like aboard that ship? conditions
second to none. As I said, the officers and men all mixed together, happy. We had concert parties and all. And of course, I used to go on. I took a part of I can't think of his name. I took a part of the High Park Orator. High Park Orator. You know, giving a speech. And I think it went down well. Because I also did do a repeat.
What made it a happy ship?
Well, the captain. He should tell you everything that was going to happen. And we had, when we left Plymouth, actually 61 years on Friday, this Friday, we left, never to come back again. We left March the 17th, 1939.
Nope. What was life like before you left Plymouth? You were based at Plymouth at first.
Yeah.
And what was life like while you were in Plymouth Harbour?
It was all right for me because I lived ashore most of the time.
Where was that?
The job I was doing. They didn't cater for you. They just give you an allowance to feed yourself.
So what job was it that you were doing? I thought you were cleaning the captain's corridor.
Oh, that was on the Gloucester. But you said about Plymouth.
I thought you said the Gloucester was in Plymouth.
Oh, the Gloucester was in Plymouth. But I went ashore every day because one of the chaps didn't like Plymouth, so he used to do my duties for me, and I was caught in. And I made my allotment out to my girlfriend. And after the Gloucester left, and I came back suddenly, you know, in 1940, we left Cape Town.
Now, hang on, we're missing out. Was there nothing about your time on the Gloucester you remember then?
Not really, because you just done the normal duties like you do at sea, just cleaning around.
And so you were with a. What about the outbreak of war? What do you remember of that? Where were you?
We was in Colombo. So actually, we was at the vest camp, up in the mountains.
So what do you remember of it? Did you hear the
broadcast? Oh, beautiful. It's out the world. You wouldn't believe it. You had these CMEs looking after you, making your bed, doing everything for you, and you just had it lazy, doing nothing. Do what you want to do, you can do.
What did you hear the broadcast?
No. But what we did know was we had to pack our bags, and that was quick. Came back to the ship, and then we went out. And we had Admiral Latham on board. But as soon as the war, just after the war broke out, he stayed behind, left the ship. And we went out to Colombo, which was our base then, and from Colombo we went everywhere.
What were you doing?
We had a lovely cruise, Seychelles, Mombasa, Dar es Salaam.
Patrolling?
Zanzibar, area patrolling. Zanzibar. And after that...
Did anything happen during that period?
No, nothing at all.
Are you going to tell a story about Mombasa?
Mombasa.
Something happened at Mombasa, you said. You were going to tell a story.
Oh, I was in charge in the boats, and They said to the petty officer, did he know about Twickenham for sailing? So they showed us. They said, because on a Sunday, one of us had to go and rig the boats. And of course, they piped me to go and rig these boats. You know, I've never done it before. I don't remember doing it. The next morning, when I saw the boat officer, I used to dodge him, you know, and he come up to me. He said, I want to congratulate you. He said, you've done a marvellous job.
What did it involve, rigging the boat?
Well, I used to scrub it out, clean it, and then put the mask up, and put the sails up, you know, and make sure it's going, and take it down again. And then I said, give a signal to the ship, and they sent a boat to pick me up. It was for the bigwigs to board ashore, you know, you should use them, and the officers. But I stuck that job until I went ashore in Colombo and come back. The regulating officer and me, he said, oh, by the way, you better get your kit packed up if you're going home. About 12 of us. And the reason for that is war being on, and the Gloucester had a full complement of active servicemen. And the ship's home was getting all these hostility only ratings. So to make it fair, we had to come back, and some of the hostility ratings went out. So every ship had so many hostility only ratings.
And that was in May 1940?
That's right.
Now, anything particular that you remember then, before we leave the Gloucester? That, you know, a pleasant ship.
All of Gloucester was marvellous. We went to Durban, and it was Christmas, and we got a message that there's a German battleship out, and we went out to chase it, and it turned out we it was fault information, we were chasing themselves. But apart from that, I saw no action at all. And I was rather disappointed after reading what happened to the Gloucester. And what they did was, on the fearless and the venomous. But looking back, I thought to myself, I've missed that. But I made up for what we've done on the fearless and the venomous.
Right, we'll be coming to that. So, you were disappointed to leave?
I was disappointed because it was such a happy ship.
Now, you went back to Drake?
To Drake. I got leave. And during that leave, I got married. June of 1940.
And what's the next thing you remember? You were posted to the Fearless, weren't you?
I was posted to the Fearless.
And when did that come?
What should be the date there?
We just looked, it's September 1940. I couldn't quite read it, it's a bit blurred. So you joined the Fearless in September 1940. And what was your first reaction to the Fearless? What did you think of it?
Well, I'm used to being on the Witch, and the Fearless is a bit bigger, more up-to-date ship. And while I was on the Fearless,
Now, what was your job on the Fearless?
Just ordinary routine jobs, but you'd done the action station.
What was your action station position?
Cordite magazine, forward.
And what did that involve on a destroyer?
Well, when the action station goes down, you go down this magazine. And I was in charge of it. And you had lot numbers. And I followed the routine that I should do, you know.
Which was?
By the numbers, following on. And That was my job, right? So we went it. We was one of the ships. We had to go to Genoa on a Sunday morning, and the fearless. We had to go into the harbour itself to lay a smokescreen for the Rodney and Nelson and all the big ships to bombard Genoa.
What do you remember about operation then?
Well, a bit in the magazine, you wouldn't know, because you wouldn't see nothing. You only heard the bank, the firing. And anyway, on the way, when we arrived back into Jib, all the servicemen, Air Force, Navy and Army, give us three cheers for each ship as they came in. Because that's the first big thing happened, you know. And then another time...
Were you based in Malta all through?
No, Jib.
Jib, sorry.
That's H Force under Admiral Somerville. We went out several times and brought back survivors. And we sunk a submarine off of Cadiz.
What do you remember of that? I know you don't see much because you're in the magazine.
No. We picked up the survivors, what they were. And when you took them to Jib, as they left the ship, you blindfolded them. And they went into these lorries, and where they went from there, I wouldn't know. On another occasion, we come across a German prison ship. And we stopped, and all these boats came towards us. And I detailed as one of the boarding party. That means to say, I was going to board the ship to capture it. But their captain shouted to our captain and he said, "This is your boarding party." He said, "Yes." He said, "Well, don't. I've time bombed it." And we waited and that ship did blow up. And apparently we found out the captain told the crew if they saw a British man of war, he would give all the prisoners the boats to get away. And also, they would get away with themselves. And he turned out to be one of the good ones. We treated them well because they was really good. But they did have one bloke. It's supposed to have been a Gestapo agent. And this, and I was just down with one of the prisoners, and he was telling me about it. He showed me his photographs of his mother and Christmas, you know. Really lovely chap he was. And he gave me his cap. Went down with the ship, so I didn't keep it. And then, next thing, we was going on the convoy called Substance, going to Malta.
Substance. What do you remember that?
Well, I was down the magazine, as I say, and I dreamt the day before. You believe it or not, you may think it's a tall story, but I dreamt the ship got hit. And I told a couple of chaps, and they just laughed. And I was actually ready, when I was done that magazine, to get up if we got hit. And anyway, near enough to the actual time, I dreamt that ship got hit. There were six bombers on us, Italian bombers. And one hit the Alster Cordite magazine. Anyway, we all went up on the forecastle.
How did you get out? I mean, was it difficult to get out?
No.
The ship didn't go down quickly then?
No. Actually, she had to be torpedoed by one of her destroyers. we had to sink it ourselves because massive flames. Because cordite, once that gets ignited, it's like a crematorium. One massive flames.
So you got out of the, you were, that was the aft magazine, you were lucky then. The you were in the forward one, you were able to get out.
Yeah.
And you were on deck. What happened from there?
Captain shouted out, abandon ship, and I was on the side. Quick.
Into the water?
Yeah.
Or did you have a boat?
No, but a boat picked, I think it was a Foresight picked us up. HMS Foresight.
And do you know the date of this?
No. Unless it's on there, it should be.
So it would be the 23rd of July, 1941.
That's when we got sunk on the 23rd of July. That's right, 23rd of July, 41. 23rd, because the Gloucester were down on the 22nd.
The day that your previous ship was sunk the day before. You were rescued by HMS Foresight.
Yeah. From there we were taken to Jeff.
What state were you in when you were picked up?
Oh, I was all right. I was picked up right away, near enough. I had to swim for a little while, but not long. And a couple of blokes we see die in the hammock. One bloke asked for his rum basket before he went. The old sailor, he wanted his tot of rum. Just died. And the funny thing in the Navy, when anybody dies in peacetime, they just sell his kit, auction it. And I've seen a matlow for a brush. How much for a brush? And I'd say £3. And then chuck it back. And the money went to the relatives of the chap who died.
But did they do that in wartime as well?
I didn't know. I shouldn't think so. But in peacetime they did. I actually see that on the Rodney, which is sad. And it's sad when you see them being buried at sea too. And just slide them down. They put them in the mail sacks. Did you know that? That's what they use the mail sacks for. You tie them up in a hammock and put a shell in it to weigh it down. And just slide them down. That's sad.
And that's what happened to the casualties. Were there many killed from aboard the Fearless?
No, not many at all. So 20 odd at the most. But even then, so I remember one bloke, bombed. He was a proper communist, you know. He was in the Astor magazine. In fact, I should have gone in the Arthur magazine because I was changing jobs. Because you change jobs. And I was quartermaster, and the joke changed me. He changed jobs. And I said to the gunny officer, do we change action stations? He said, no, you stay where you are. And I stayed there. And another time, I volunteered to go on a 4-7. And I said, no. I had to stay where I was. And the chap who went on the 4-7, he got killed. So I was lucky there.
Now, what was your job as quartermaster? You've mentioned that before, before we finish.
Oh, it's just to help run the routine of the ship, you know.
Were you actually quartermaster, or you were in the quartermaster's office?
No, quartermaster.
Have you had promotion then, or was you still?
No.
What did you actually do as quartermaster?
Keep the log going, you know, change of the wind, find out who's coming aboard, an officer comes aboard, you